With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The national press secretary for the Trump campaign onto the show. Hogan, it's a pleasure to have you back. First time in your new role here as the national press secretary for the Trump campaign. So thank you for the time.
Absolutely. I really appreciate you having me on. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. So the president's actions this weekend seem to be because the folks in Congress couldn't get a deal done. Set up to us for us what brought the president to this moment, and has he been willing to compromise, to work with people across the aisle prior to these executive orders?
Absolutely. And look, he even made the suggestion, from our side, as the GOP, the White House said, we will keep the current payments in place to buy us some time so we can negotiate. And Democrats said no to that. It is pretty clear what Nancy Pelosi is doing. She is playing politics with people's lives, and no one should be surprised by that in any form or fashion. She held up the COVID relief package once. One of the other versions of it earlier in the year, to add on all these crazy Green New Deal pieces and all the stuff that had nothing to do with COVID whatsoever. That was exposed because so many of the items she wanted tacked into this bill are things she supported before COVID was even a thing. So we know it's purely politics with her. She did the same thing over border funding, back in several Januaries ago. She and the Democrats do this pretty regularly. But the president said, listen, we're gonna move forward here. The American people need to pay rent. The American people need to be able to put food on the table and clothes on their kids' backs. And we've got to make sure they have something. This was done by the government. The government needs to take responsibility and fix it. And if the Democrats want to try and sue the president of the United States or the administration simply for giving money to people who have been impacted by government actions, be my guest, because that's going to look really, really bad. I mean, the whole thing's horrible on its face already. Now you're going to try and sue to stop people from getting money? That just didn't make any sense at all, but not atypical for Nancy Pelosi.
How much of what, Hogan, how much of what the president signed into with executive order this weekend has Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats who are in her caucus, how much of that have they previously supported in some way, shape, or form before the president decided to put it into effect with that executive order?
Well, that's what's so funny. I mean, these Democrats, they are always for things or against things, and have been for decades, taking positions. And if Donald Trump takes a position, they just move quickly to take the opposite. It doesn't matter. 2012, they were talking about a payroll tax deferment. And Nancy Pelosi said, our economy and our people need this boost. It is a job creator. Now she's saying she doesn't want to do it. She's done that so many times. They were all for the wall. Then the president says he's going to build it. No, they don't want that either. So it lends you to believe that they just want the issue. They don't want the fix. I mean, they want DACA fixed, and the president offers three times that of what Barack Obama ever thought about offering, and they don't want that either. I mean, it just doesn't matter. They are just anti-Trump through and through. And I firmly believe if he came out tomorrow and said, I think I'm going to support Joe Biden for president, the Democrats would say, nope, don't think so. Changing.
Is that why they made you the national press secretary? Maybe that's a good plan. Maybe he should come out and say that. That would be the number one way to get people to go against it. I want to ask you this question from a listener here who points this out about the deferral of the payroll tax. People are having a lot of questions about what happens to the funding for Social Security and Medicare that would normally come from these taxes? What does a deferral mean? Does that mean that there are going to be people on the hook again after the period, after the December 31st date for these taxes? What is the president's answer to those types of questions?
Yeah, that's actually a great question for the White House and the administration. It's my understanding, based on what I've seen, what I've read, and also what I've talked to people within the administration about, is that this is not a threat at all to Social Security. It wasn't back then. It doesn't have to be paid back. You know, it wasn't in 2012. It isn't now. So Democrats trying to press that, you know, that's just not true. And the president's been very clear. He's not only going to protect Social Security, Medicare, but he's also going to make sure that pre-existing conditions are covered as well. We all know where Obamacare is headed. It doesn't look like its future is long for this earth. And if so, the president moved quickly in a bold move to make sure pre-existing conditions, for example, were protected. So it's my understanding it's not going to affect Social Security at all. The president has, you know, been very clear on multiple occasions that we're not touching those things. And it's interesting because, you know, I'll go a little historic for you here. I worked for Mike Huckabee, and he was one of the ones who said we can't touch Social Security or Medicare. Those are things. I mean, those are promises the government made with the people, and you can't mess around with those just because the government made bad investments and doesn't, you know, and overspends money. That's not our fault. So it's a deal that we made with the American people. They pay in, they get a certain amount out. The president's going to protect it at all costs.
I want to ask you, shift gears a little bit. We're speaking with Hogan Gidley, the national press secretary for the Trump campaign. And we're anticipating any time now, really, the selection of the vice president for Joe Biden, who he's going to pick to be the other name on the ticket. Now, I'll tell you, as a female myself and as a mother of two young girls, I have an 8-year-old and a 4-year-old, that I'm never going to raise my daughters to accept something for anything more than they've earned. And I will say personally, as a woman, that if I were selected to be what I'm kind of saying is similar to the arm candy for Joe Biden, where he has told us that he has to select a woman, and that he has also reiterated that he would prefer a woman of color, I don't feel like if that were, you know, me, if I were the one qualifying for that female position, I don't feel like I would have completely earned it. I feel like I would be filling a slot to support, at least in the leftist terms, that identity politics way of saying, I need a woman to make me look better as the man leading this ticket. How do you feel about the way Joe Biden has walked into this moment in time right before he's going to tell us who that vice president is? And do you feel like it's fair to women to say, well, I need a woman on this ticket because that's going to get me a certain amount of votes? I feel like that's demeaning.
Well, look, I have to say I'm far less concerned about the race, color, creed, gender of the pick, and more concerned with the policies the potential picks have already said they support. He has a bunch of folks he's looking at for this, you know, vice presidential spot. And they are all radical leftists with histories of supporting communism. I mean, you have an avowed communist, basically, as someone that is really close to potentially being chosen. And she, you know, would be one heartbeat away from the White House. Let's not forget, you know, where Kamala Harris is on that Green New Deal. I mean, that would kill 10 million jobs immediately. What I'm really concerned about is Joe Biden being that empty vessel and now being filled by the radical left-wing, you know, socialist within his own party. And that includes all of these picks that he's looking at to fill the ticket. So I know there's going to be a lot of conversations from women just like yourself who are offended and upset. And believe me, you have the right to that opinion, no question about it. And In the mix, though, I want to be certain that we understand if you're upset by that, which again is your right, and you can be, take a look at the policies that they're going to espouse for this country as well. That's what I'm deeply concerned about when you have Joe Biden pushing all of these horrific ideas onto the American people, standing side by side with folks who want to join Joe Biden in his effort to remake America in the image of some socialist nation. That's a serious problem, and we need to make sure that here at the campaign we expose that between now and Election Day.
And it's so refreshing to hear you as the national press secretary for the Trump campaign highlight that, because I am a white, college-educated, suburban mother of three, and I'm the one who's supposed to detest Donald Trump. And the reason why I think people box me into that is because they discount my ability to assess the policy positions that President Trump offers versus whatever the alternative is, because it's, to me, it's not, are you for Joe Biden? It's, are you for Trump or are you against Trump? And I am looking around this country right now. I live on the Illinois side of the Mississippi River here in St. Louis. Chicago directs the state of Illinois into the ground in most every political way possible. And watching what took place in Chicago yesterday, knowing that the president has come to Lori Lightfoot and offered assistance in getting this together, and seeing how Lori Lightfoot is now reacting to this, I want safety for my kids. I want my children to be able to be educated with confidence and safety. That is the most important thing to me in my life. And there is clearly only one candidate in this election in November who is standing for law and order. And, you know, like, if people are going to discount my ability because I'm a suburban mom to actually think on the policy issues like you've suggested, then boy, are they undercutting me. That's as offensive as anything.
No question. And, you know, I tell you, I did a Team Trump Online this past weekend with Lauren Boebert, and she's running for Congress out in Colorado. And it was fascinating because we discussed how Democrats want to defund the police and simultaneously are going to try and take away your guns. So if we're keeping score at home, they're going to keep the police, prevent the police from protecting you. Oh, and by the way, you can't protect yourself either because we're going to take your guns. That is just a recipe for disaster and danger for our families. And, you know, I often say that campaigns are done in the abstract, where you say, I would want to do this if I get elected, or I promise I'll do this. You don't have to guess how our city streets would look with Joe Biden. We've just seen it for the last 10 weeks. All he's been doing is placating to the radical base of his party, allowing for defunding movements to continue across this country. He's not condemning the rioting, the looting, the burning of churches, the burning of federal buildings. And it has taken some time for the media to kind of wise up here. But the fact is, people at home, on our city streets, in our neighborhoods, are concerned and they're scared because people like Joe Biden are leaving them defenseless, leaving them vulnerable. And President Trump said, we're not going to do that. I'm for law and order. I'm for safety and security. We have to ensure our families can protect themselves, but also that we fully fund the police, those brave men and women in uniform, so that they can continue to do their jobs. Clear differences are what the American people need to see in a campaign, and you're going to see them over the last 80 or so days of this campaign for sure.
Just to reiterate that as well, Joe Biden just yesterday, and speaking here from St. Louis, Missouri, Joe Biden tweeted, "It's been 6 years since Michael Brown's life was taken in Ferguson. Reigniting a movement, we must continue the work of tackling systemic racism and reforming policing. Katie Pavlik retweeted it and said, "It's been 6 years since Michael Brown tried to take Officer Wilson's firearm during a struggle after robbing a store. Your own DOJ found this to be true." And I was so glad that Katie came back with that, because the people here who watched our city burn in 2014 watched what happened there, and it was very painful. It was very divisive. And Joe Biden coming out with that, leaving all of the important facts off the table so that he can continue to divide. People see that, and I hope that the campaign continues to pound the table with that law and order message, because it's resounding here, that's for sure.
Well, 81% of African Americans in a poll that just came out said they want to keep the current rate or increase the rate of policing in their neighborhood. So this is an area where most Americans agree. You know, you have to have the police to keep things safe. And for whatever reason, Joe Biden and the Democrats have decided they're going to stand with the rioters and the looters, as opposed to the ones trying to prevent the rioting and the looting. And let's not forget, it was Joe Biden's old campaign staff who bailed out people responsible for destruction and damage of property. They didn't bail out the businesses that were destroyed or work to rebuild the businesses. They paid to get people out of jail who actually caused the businesses harm, the ones who destroyed the property. That's how backwards this whole entire thing is, and I'm glad you're pointing it out, and I'm glad Katie said that as well. And I remember there were a lot of prominent African-American writers at the time who debunked the entire hands-up-don't-shoot mantra, and it was, you know, to their peril, but to their credit. They said it's just not true. And so for Joe Biden to say that now and try and stoke that hatred over something that wasn't true, you know, is shameful. And I'm so glad Katie and you and others, you know, are coming out and calling him to the mat for it, because it's just not helpful to this country. And look, when you look at the president's message, it's hopeful, it's unifying, it's uplifting, it's patriotic, and you compare and contrast that message that resonates with real Americans across this country, regardless of race, religion, color, or creed, versus Joe Biden, who's about America last, who wants socialist programs enacted in this country, who, when we're trying to get out of an economic issue related to a novel coronavirus, his solution is to raise taxes on 80% of Americans by $4 trillion and to grant illegal grant amnesty to 11 million people. I mean, Hillary Clinton tried to raise taxes by $2 trillion and she lost. And he looked at that number and said, $2 trillion? Hold my beer. He doubled it automatically. And he's trying to put that on top of American families in a time when we need jobs. We need to rebuild. And so it's just kind of laughable to think that he has any idea how to fix an economy, because we saw another you don't have to think about, or you don't have to guess. You don't have to guess what the economy would look like under Joe Biden. We saw it for 8 years. We saw the depressed wages, the 3.5 million jobs leaving hardworking Americans going right to China, 60,000 manufacturing plants closed, 850,000 jobs gone because of NAFTA. Donald Trump changed all of that and had this economy going. He rebuilt it once. Coronavirus came in, and now he's rebuilding it again.
Yeah, it's so true. Thank you so much for the time today, Hogan. We look forward to connecting to you again. Hogan Gidley, National Press Secretary for the Trump campaign, with the facts. We'll talk to you again soon, Hogan. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, bye-bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.